The Lord would say this, although a mother might desert her child, I will never forsake you. The Lord draws close to the brokenhearted and near to the crushed in spirit. So if that's you today, just come to the Lord, embrace him, because he's waiting for you. Thank you, Lord. So as we were singing that song that David sang in the Psalms, that better is one day. Is that true? Would you guys give up 1,000 days for about one day? Well, you don't have to. In the New Testament, it's poured out for you every day is that one day. Isn't that good? I mean, we sing that song and say, yeah, that's true, but not quite. The real truth is we have every day with him. Wow. It's come for our benefit, to express his loving kindness on the earth. As he then prophesies over us this morning, he's coming like the spring rain. He's coming. And we are to like give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Wow. How could we not? As the earth is going crazy, I love that one verse in a song. Do you feel the darkness is getting darker? And, you know, it's crazy what's going on, but it cannot do anything to the kingdom of God, because that is independent of the media. It's independent of the politicians. It's independent of what we think is happening. What the Lord does in the kingdom of God is what the Lord wants to do. Nothing's short of it. So I'd like to speak this morning about John 14, and we'll get there in a minute, but where Jesus says, I am the way. Talk about paths. I am the path, the truth, and that truth, the life. He is all in all, the way, the truth, and the life. And here's the problem, is that in this world, we don't think the truth is that important. We tolerate falsehood. We do. If you go on any radio or any TV station, any internet thing, and you see the advertising, it's not true. It isn't true. What they're purporting is not what you see around you and not what God is doing on the earth. They don't even recognize God anymore. You don't hear them even swearing and taking Jesus' name in vain because they don't think he even exists. They don't care. They've taken it right out. There's no religion. The religion is their own truth, their own spin, their own way. And the Lord has come to us. Even in the Old Testament, he says this, the eighth commandment. Some of you can repeat this. Thou shalt not commit false witness against thy neighbor. And he isn't just talking about those in a court of law, although he certainly is talking about that directly. But he's talking about the false witness we have resident within the old man, that old nature that was buried in the waters of baptism, and still tries to raise his head and say, no, I know the truth. There's a lot of people, a lot of countries, a lot of presidents, a lot of prime ministers that say they know the truth. President Putin thinks he knows the truth, and he has a story to tell. But when that truth comes to collision with people's lives and comes to collision with the compassion of God, there's something wrong. You see, he believes that the church should have not have gone to Rome and should have gone up right up to Peter the Great, who was really the true, in his opinion, the true ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. He's the one that should have been the master. So he takes Peter the Great's flag, and it's now the flag of Russia. Wow, that seems, wow, there's an ideal. That's not bad. It would be the harbinger of all truth. Well, that's a lie right in itself, right? You guys, alarms go off and the Holy Spirit is within you. That can't be true. Well, it isn't true. Russia and or Peter the Great was never the harbinger and protector of the Holy Roman Empire. And what is the Holy Roman Empire anyway? The kingdom of God should have been the focus of the church right from the beginning, not the Vatican. not Greek Orthodox, not the Russian Orthodox. Should I go on? But we constantly are making up stories to explain what's happening around us. So we go to the news media, we go to the internet, and we try to find out what's happening. Am I the only one? I'd like to know what's happening. There's, you know, in early part of that last century, it was the in thing for everybody to be a nation. Before then, there really weren't nations altogether. Some, there were some nations, but not everything was a nation. Germany wasn't a nation until, almost the middle of the century. They suddenly decided there should be a nation and more. How about an empire? And this kind of thing, this nation building, began with the United Nations, the League of Nations, all of those kinds of things, who tried to build on a truth that didn't exist outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peoples are people groups. They don't have to be nations. You can be an island and not claim to be a nation. But now, if you're going to be a member of the United Nations, you have to be a nation, even if you're just an island. So we tell that story. I don't know how many centuries will go by, and we'll still tell that story. But there were a lot of stories throughout civilization, weren't there? See, the Egyptians thought the story was a lot of gods, pantheism, everything was a god. They thought, some felt, there can be only one god, that's got to be Ra, the sun god. After all, most of our heat and everything else comes from the sun. Well, they were wrong. Chinese believe something else. Their civilization, great civilizations. And yet, God deserted them. And all that's left is a gold mummy or two. If that's what is all that's left, that's not saying much. And what is left of China and its great civilization? These were like wonderful things to behold in their time. Centuries of people believed what was going on. In the Middle Ages, everybody believed that the Catholic Church and the Holy Roman Empire was it. And now the Lord's pouring out His Spirit again and doesn't want us to go backwards. You see, the Egyptians were wrong. The Chinese were wrong. The Europeans were wrong. Everybody is wrong, but there's only one person who is right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we could stick to that one, I think we got it made. Lord, help us to do that. So in spite of everything we see, the Lord's prophesying to us this morning. He said, don't you see? I heard this morning. Don't you see the rain? I said, well, I don't see any. 65 degrees today. It's going to go up really warm. I thought I'd wear shorts today just to shake you up a little bit, but I decided not to. Aren't you glad? That would have made my point, though. We tell a story. But the Lord's story is different than ours. His is truth. So if He says He's going to bring forth the rain to soften the ground, He is going to do that. And there will be a people who respond to that. But there also will be a people who don't. So here we have stories. I already talked about this one, the stories of what the Russia is and what the Ukraine is. I'm glad you got it figured out, because it's not that easy. Go back and study the Cossacks and all of that, and it becomes more and more complicated as you go back through history and time. We also have other untruths in our life. We have the untruths of our childhood memories. We think something happened, and it didn't really happen quite that way. We like to embellish the story. Am I the only one that does that? Thanks, Joni. No, I don't think so. But it's really nice to have a dramatic story. You're in a home group and somebody wants to share a testimony. Well, let's make it a little bit more dramatic. Put a different spin on it than what maybe really happened. But you see, God is calling us to be lovers of Him, and lovers of the truth, lovers of life that comes from that truth. Now, the other thing that a lot of us are caught up into, conspiracy theories. Now, let me tell you something about conspiracies. There are always conspiracies. Conspiracy only means that more than one or two people agree. And since most of the corporations in this world run on committees and boards, they're all conspiracies. They're conspiring for us to buy whatever they're selling. Well, there are conspiracies, but there's only one conspiracy that's going to win in the end. That's a conspiracy between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They conspire together for our good, not for some fake lie, not for a fake universe, but for the real one, for the real civilization which he has meant from the beginning when he created Adam in the garden. He said it was a good thing that he did it, and he was happy about it. Sometimes you get up in the morning, you're not so happy with yourself. Look in the mirror, right? It's like, who's that guy? Who's that girl? Well, when you were 6 years old, the Lord saw you too, and he was just as happy now, or just as happy now as he was then, to see your smile. Because it's for that reason he came in the world, to bring you joy, not anything else. He didn't come in this world that we would have wars. He came into this world for our good. Though a mother might leave her child, I will never forsake you. Oh, if we could just believe that. But because we don't, we have to build walls. We have to build protections. We have to keep our cards close to our chest, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with not spilling your or throwing your pearls before swine. That's the scripture. But maybe we've taken that too far. Here's a solution to most of what I'm saying. We need to listen and not talk so much. Is that right? Now, that's Americana, Americana. We talk a lot, and we do less listening than we should. That's just truth. Another thing we do, and there's a big article about this, I think it was in Scientific American, it could have been Science, but it was one of those two. It says, if we jump to conclusions, that's actually a fallacy of composition. It's a faulty logic. If we always think, well, I know what it is. Because, you know, we have the Spirit within us. We should know. Not always. There's a scripture that I'll share. It says, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. That really means, translation, don't jump to conclusions. Which everybody seems to be, who's the first to be on CNN or who's the first to be on Fox News? You know, their contributors. They're the ones that are jumping to conclusions. They may be right. Most of the time they might be. I don't know. But I want to know and be the one who is the discerner of what God has for me. You know, it all goes back to Revelations, the second chapter, where he talks to the church at Ephesus. So, you know, wake up. You guys have it all wrong. Oh, we got to do this thing right. We have the United Nations. We have the strongest military on earth. We have all these nuclear weapons. We can influence the European Union. We can influence China, Russia, and all things. How many knows it's not working out so well? Jesus says this, I have these things. I hold the seven stars in my right hand, and I walk in the midst of the golden lampstands. But, I mean, it has all power. I know your works, your labor, your patience. This is a good thing. You cannot bear those who are evil. I would say most of us were like that. If we actually could identify somebody with that's evil or some things that are evil, we would not like it. He says, this is good for you. And you have tested those who say that they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary in this. I added that in this. So we're going to judge this. We're going to be those who are the truth seekers now. All of us in this room pretty much are. But somehow we get off sidetracked, whether it's a conspiracy theory or what we think about the vaccine. I know a lot about biology, but I don't know it to know all the things that a virus can do and won't do. I've said this before, but one of the things that I have learned and was taught to me in the very beginning, that when you're dealing with biological entities, you can only hope for 85% because it's too complex a system. Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them deserted him, turned him in, bared false witness. How could that happen? Well, it did. But then in Revelations, it says this. This is where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is what you have to love. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. That love for the Lord, the path of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, the life of the Lord. Not your own, but his in you. We sing that song. It's your breath in our lungs. Now, when I was born, I can't imagine what that first breath felt like. I don't remember it, but it was like, and when I breathed out, I'm sure it was, ah! That was not prophetic. But you know, when I wake up in the morning and I breathe in my first breath of the day, and I breathe out, it's usually, thank you, Jesus, for your loving kindness toward me. It's his breath in my lungs, not mine. I don't say, what's going to happen today? If you start there, you're already behind. What do you want to do today? Might be your second question. I said this Friday, and I think it's kind of cute. Somebody said, the State of the Union should have been two words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the children that we have killed before they were even born. I'm sorry for all the injustices, for all of the corruption, for all the things that people want, power, money, influence. What is money anyway? Money is a tool of power. So let's leave my introduction and go to the text. In John chapter 14. I've read this many times. It's a worn page in my Bible. It's got stains all over it, probably from spit and everything else, but it has such wonderful words. And the first word is, let not your heart be troubled. Whether you live in the United States of America and the gasoline prices are going to be probably more than they are now. What was it, $4.65 for premium? Unbelievable. How do you not be troubled about that, right? Maybe you're on a fixed income. You're going to be troubled about that. Well, Jesus said, no. There's a different rule. There's a different truth that I'm going to give you this morning. And it starts with the joy of the Lord. And it says, let not your heart be troubled by these things. Whether you live here or in the Ukraine or in Poland, it doesn't matter. It's still the kingdom of God he's building. It's still his righteousness that he's pouring forth on the earth. I heard someone say there's more of evangelical churches in Ukraine than any other country in Europe. I don't know if that's true, but it's close. You don't think they're praying? I think they are. The Catholic archbishop said he saw and had reported to him, not he saw, but had reported to him that there were angels luminous above the sky. And most of the sky in Ukraine right now is dark because most of their day is night. Still, it isn't spring yet. So there's a lot of angels coming to the defense of God's people. Where men pour out craziness. I mean, really, you're the leader of the Holy Roman Empire. Seriously, okay. God bless you. No. God bring to your remembrance that Jesus is still king, not you. That's the whole problem. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't just believe in a force, some ethereal force in heaven, the creator, but believe in me, Jesus says. In my house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Mansion speaks of a place of provision, a housing that has a lot of resources. So you're going to go to a place, you're not going to be troubled about heaven, are you? Because you know there's going to be a place for you to live where there are a lot of resources available to you. Not only resources, but places of comfort, places of strength. You go to a mansion, it's ready. I go to prepare a place for you. So it's not just a building. He's already made it just for you. I like that. See, I don't really like the comforter that's on my bed right now. You can ask Cheryl. I have like a little darker color, right? That's probably the one I'm getting. Because Jesus knows you better than you. See, I don't want my will anymore. I want his will to be done in my life. I've had enough of my will. How about you? I've had enough of the will of the United States, of Russia, or anybody else. You know, the Pope signed a contract with Islam last year saying that he is going to start, or they have started and have obligated to, a new religion called Chrislam, and which is a combination of the two faiths. And he signed up to that. How ridiculous. How absurd. How lunatic is that? Well, Jesus says, I will come again and receive you to a new place that you'll be so unfamiliar that you can't find your way. No, I will receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, you know. So this is a place they've already been. What? We've been to a place like heaven here on earth. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, he's speaking a truth there that they didn't even recognize to be the truth, because Thomas, it's not just Thomas, they were all thinking this. Lord, we don't know where you're going, or we don't know how to get there. We don't know the way. You know, you're talking crazy now. Did the Lord ever say something to you that you didn't understand? What'd you do? So, the Lord's crazy again. No. Put it on the shelf and say, I really want to know what it is you mean by this. Go to the scriptures. Ask your friends in the Lord. And Jesus said to Thomas and all of them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That scripture just comes out and it walks through eternity. Its focus is not on just that time, but it's every time. In this and the ages to come. There is no truth in Egypt with the pyramids. There was no truth in China with their great civilization. There is no truth in Russia and the Russian Orthodox. The truth is only in Jesus. Now, I don't know, that statement might get me arrested in Russia. It might even get me arrested in other places as well. But it's true. And what we have to say to the world in our life, our testimony to the world, is that Jesus is Lord of our lives. No one else. No other thing. And Jesus then makes it even more clear. He says, no one comes to the Father except through him. You can't somehow take a side road and get in through the back door. There's only the front door to the kingdom of God. There's no side entrance. See, when I was a programmer, I always made a back door into my program. But that's not so in the kingdom of God. I can't go in any other way but through the way of repentance and knowing how frail my own frame is, both physically and mentally. I can only know so much. And I forget a lot of that. Am I talking to the right group here or what? You all know this, right? Okay. Well, Philip says, now Thomas this time, this is Phyllis, right? Philip says, he says, Lord, show us the Father. That's good for us. Well, that's good. The frustration of our Lord as a human being on earth, not omnipresent, the frustration came to him as an emotion. He said, have I been so long with you, and yet you don't know me? Know me? The Father, Philip. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he's saying. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now, when did he ever preach that? They should have known and did know, but they weren't aware of these words. The words which I have spoken to you, I did not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, who does the work. And that's plural, works. Believe me, and I am in the Father, and the Father me. Or else, at least to believe in the sake of the works themselves. That's you can see the frustration. How could they not get it? And yet they didn't. How can the church not get it? And yet they don't. The organized church in America today has missed this. I'm not speaking a lie. For the most part, they have missed it. They don't believe that Jesus is divine, and they don't believe that the Father, the creator of all things, is resident within this person, the person of Jesus. And they certainly don't believe he's going to be poured out into you. Because that would be no control, no influence. Without influence, there's no money. And or money has no value. See, if I don't influence you and you refuse my money, then I have no money. So what is money? It's influence. It's how much you think I'm worth. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. All right, that's what God promised us this morning. His rain is going to be poured out. Greater works than these will I do because I go to the Father. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. You see, the advertising and the advertisers and all those who are trying to paint the picture of a global religion and a global earth homogenized to such a way that nothing exists, especially religion. Remember John Lennon's song? Imagine there's no religion. Well, imagine it if you will, but I ain't gonna. Because a true religion isn't a set of doctrine. It is simply the Lord Jesus himself in our midst. His presence. I love that song. In his presence, there is peace. Not war. So I'm not warring with myself. War is a war start, really. It starts in your heart. And once it starts there, then you transfer hate, animosity, and division to somebody else. It's her fault. It's his fault. It's their fault. That's really what Mein Kampf was all about when Hitler wrote it. It's the Jewish nation. It's their fault. Look what they did to our finances. Look to what they did to our sons and our daughters. They're begging on the street. How could they do such a thing? Don't take any responsibility for yourself then. Whatever they ask in my name, I will do. And Father, that the Father may glorify the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, that hasn't even come to truth and reality in my life yet. But I know it's true, so I know it will. Sometimes we walk over the truth, not seeing it. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and it was a big deal. Got it written down in the scripture. But if you went in a hospital today and prayed for somebody, and the next day they walked out, you might not even notice. That actually happened to me, one of the girls in our home group. We prayed for her. The doctors gave her less than a day to live. And she walked out of that hospital. Oh, not so big. Oh, really? Not according to the Lord. Then he says something about responsibility and ownership of this thing he has given to you. Because the commandments of the New Testament aren't a list of do's and don'ts. The commandment, when he talks about commandments, is doing what he says for you to do. Because now you have the Holy Spirit that talks to you. The Spirit of truth. Right? So he's going to speak to you. And he says, if you love me, keep those commandments, my commandments. Not Moses' commandments, my commandments. Not the Torah, but my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, because you can't do it without him, that he may abide with you forever. He isn't going to leave you. Once you're filled with the Spirit, guess what? It doesn't go away. It's not like a disease. You can't get vaccinated against the Holy Spirit. That's why it says when we walk away from the Spirit and there's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, woe to you. Who can bring you back? Boy, it's not a place I would ever want to be. I can imagine being baptized, filled with the Spirit, praying in tongues, and just, I don't care what God has for me. And just say, that's just not true. Even just saying that just now makes me shiver and say, no, be it far from me, Lord God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him nor know him. And it's capital H, the person of the Holy Spirit. That is Christ in you. But you know him. He dwells within you, and he will be in you. So Jesus is talking as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as one thing. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. The Holy Spirit, yeah, he, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he, the Lord Jesus, the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And he came and dwelt among us. Isn't that great? So truth is a precious commodity. We're not seeing much of it today. If you get nothing else, you can walk away from here saying you're not seeing a lot of truth out there. You're not. It isn't coming that way. Hopefully, you're going to hear it from here. And the words in the mouth of your brothers and sisters. But not all the time, because remember, you're supposed to be guarding that. 1 Thessalonians, test everything, hold fast to that which is good. So Bruce gets up and prophesies, I'm going to test it. Wayne gets up and prophesies, I'm going to test it. Is that true? Does it match up with the Word of God? Is it what God's saying to me today? Is it resonating in my heart? Be careful with that one, because your heart may be in the wrong place. But that's part of the deal. The Holy Spirit within you should say amen. And if it says, oh me, you're in big trouble. Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't think so. There's a real promise here in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'm just going to go through a summary of some of these scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 32. There's something about the truth that you may not have realized. We hear the scripture a lot, but it says, you'll know the truth. So that's a promise. He doesn't say, you're never going to know the truth. There's going to be a time when you know the truth. And it's going to do what? Make you very sad? No. It's going to make you despondent? No. It's going to set you free. Free from what? Free from all of the lies that everybody's saying around you. You're going to be free from all the conspiracy theories. You know, they don't even concern you anymore. You're going to find yourself in the Word of God. You're going to find yourself praying before the Lord. You're going to find yourself singing songs which you may not have ever sung before. Why should I be discouraged? Why should these eyes of mine cry? The eyes of the Lord are on the sparrow. And I know where my Savior is and where his attention is focused. And though a mother may forsake his child, I will never leave you or forsake you. What a wonderful truth that is. So we must test everything. Hold fast to what is good. That means that we might have something we already know is true and we let it go. So how do we not let it go? We study it. We meditate upon it. We make songs about it. We sing songs about it. Somebody said, I think Friday night, said, we know that, well, Tim, it was you. You said that songs aren't scriptural necessarily, but they have the scriptural content in them. Hopefully, the ones that we sing. If they don't, you can be sure the elders are about the responsibility of changing them or not singing them. We don't always agree about that, right, Wayne? There's some songs you say, I don't know if that's really scriptural or not. Right? So we try our best. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present to God as one approved. Not one who is in falsehood, but one approved about what you're doing here. a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Why? Rightly handling the word of truth. So you can get a word of truth and not, you can put your own spin on it. That's what that means. See, preachers have that problem, is they have a word of truth and they go out and they put their own spin on it, and it's going to go to places that you don't want it to go. The air by emphasis is a lot like that. You put their own spin just because everything is this. Well, a lot of scriptures have balancing scriptures to them to show the true heart of God. Rightly dividing and handling the word of truth is part of our responsibility, each one of us, not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just the home group leaders, not just the prophets, but everyone, rightly handling the word of truth. You commit yourself to that today? Say amen. Okay. Now here's a good one. I shared this on Friday night, because really the look on our on people's faces betray them. There's a whole course on how we have micro expressions and all kinds of ways that we have body posture and everything. And everything about you betrays who you are and what you think. You may not think it's true, but more times than not, your face betrays what you think. The other day I was worshiping, maybe several weeks ago, in the back, and I had my hands raised to God and praising the Lord. Hank says, I could see that you're really praising the Lord today. Now, how could he know that? Because of my posture, my demeanor. And we know each other by that. So I can look around this room and I know every one of your faces. Even if you've only been here a couple of times, I know your face. I know the countenance on those faces. It's like sometimes I wonder, I bring forth the word of God. I said, why am I preaching to these people? They could preach to me. Because the countenance on your face is feeding that back to me. It's a wonderful thing that God has given to us. Here's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. And it's a scripture that condemns Israel and Jerusalem for deserting the ways of God. See, it wasn't just Egypt that went astray. It wasn't China that just went. All these civilizations that lasted for thousands of years, but it was also the nation that God picked out went astray too. And he looks at them, Isaiah the prophet says, I look at them and their faces betray and bears witness against them. Really? They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not even hide it. They parade it. We no longer believe in our Lord. We no longer believe in Christianity. We no longer believe in marriage between a husband and a wife. We no longer believe this, that, and the other thing. And Isaiah says, woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Now, you don't have to look too far. Just look at those the camera was focusing on the State of Union address, and you can see the fake smiles. Now, a fake smile is defined as one that's more than a quarter of a second. See it? Whereas, oh, that's the Lord. Not very long. You got to look for it. The real smile isn't made up and plastered on your face. Oh, if there was one person that I could have seen. You know, I mean, Gran was saying, what are you looking at this for? I said, I'm trying to find somebody that's really smiling. I'm trying to find one that isn't just putting on a show. I didn't find any. For they have brought evil on themselves. I sure hope it's not true, but, you know, until they reverse Roe v. Wade, I don't know how it can happen. How can a God of heaven bless a country that kills its own children? By his mercy and grace, by the prayers of the saints, and only that. John 17:17 is such a wonderful prayer. This is a prayer Jesus has for himself and for his disciples. You could read this over and over every day. And the church that I grew up in, they used to say this a lot. And I wonder now how many of them even knew what they were saying. But Jesus says to them in verse 17th chapter, he says, oh, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, sanctify them in truth. Your word is true. Your word is truth. There's something about that. He's not just talking about a word truth. Somehow it's a state of being. Sanctify them. Set them aside, away from falsehood, away from the spin of every civilization known to man, and say, you know, this nation might not last as long as we thought it would. I don't want to put fear in your heart, but what if there were a nuclear war tomorrow? The church would still survive. I don't know how many nations would, but the church would still survive. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is true. So it all comes down to really the grace and mercy of God and the motivation that he has put within you. The righteous motivation is to follow the Lord. I am the way. The path means you have to own that. I can't make that path for you. If you're here because of somebody else's idea that you should be here, then you're not on the right path. You have to own it. You have to own wanting to worship the Lord with not maybe the best musicians in the world. I'm Paul close, but not quite. Jeannie, what do you think? I don't know. They do a wonderful job. You know why? Because their heart is in it. Our motivation for being here is because we want to know the truth. That is, the Lord Jesus, the way, the path, truth and the life that we have. That first breath we took isn't anything compared to the one we're breathing now. We sing that one song, and his body in the grave took its first breath and began to move. That's such a great verse, right? Can't you just imagine yourself being there? And there's the dead corpse of our Lord Jesus there. And you're sitting there, we're going to watch it now. And it's going to take its first breath. What an exciting breath that would be. Oh, yeah, the angels hung out there for a while for a good reason. Because they knew the breath of the Lord was an important thing. The breath doesn't speak of just air with oxygen and nitrogen. It's the breath of the Spirit that's within us. Because John says in his gospel, he says that you are born of the flesh, of the will of men and women coming together because of a sexual urge. You are born of the Spirit now. Oh, you're a new person, new creature. And he says to Nicodemus, he says, if you don't understand you need to be born again, you can't even see it. You don't belong here. You need to be born again. Born of the Spirit. Motivation. What is your motivation? Most people's motivations are survival. Yeah, if you're in Ukraine, that's probably it. Power. Yep. Other things are history. Our motivation's based on history. Well, this land belongs to me. This is what I deserve. This is what I know to be true based on history. You know, I hate to say this, but because I do care about history, a lot about it, but I don't want fake history. I want real history. So when you see the Egyptian pyramids, you realize it's not just a great civilization. It's one that failed completely and utterly before God. Chinese civilization, the same. Other civilizations, one by one, all failed before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is only one civilization that will survive in the end. That is the kingdom of God. You don't believe it. It's true. See, the world's spinning a whole different story, aren't they? We need to have one world order. We want to have all kinds of things, but none of it is based on the word and the truth and the path. Amen? Our motivation should be one like a child that wants to please his father, not just to be obedient. Say, yes, Dad. No. Let me think. What can I do for Dad tomorrow that would really bless him? How about that? That's a rare commodity. What could you do from the Lord that could really bless him? Well, you know, in yourself, that would be nothing. But in the Lord, it would be to obey these scriptures, to guard the truth. It is to hold on to the truth, to follow his path, and purpose in your heart, because without the Lord's help, you're not going to win. It's not going to happen. But purpose in your heart that you're going to do it. You're going to try. And you're going to let that Holy Spirit within you do its work. He will, what does Jesus say? He's going to guide you into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. That's our motivation. Jesus to go out before you and guide you and direct you, following him. You know, if you ever feel some force behind you pushing you, it's probably not God. It's probably the enemy. The one who goes before you is the one who says, come on, you can do this. It's not that hard for you. Amen? Well, Father, we prayed this morning for your mercy on this world, on the civilizations that men are creating even now. Wonderful highways, beautiful cars, unbelievable weapons of destruction, also ones of great wealth and power, buildings of magnitude no one could possibly imagine, to heights that are dizzying, to places that are set aside just for being pristine, all the things that civilizations of this world are doing, none of them compare to you. We pray, Lord God, that your mercy would not just be amongst us, but it would overtake us. That today, tomorrow, this week, this month, and this year, and through this age, we would see your mercy increase more and more. We would see that rain come upon the earth and not give up until those shoots come forth from the ground. Whether it's this year, the next year, or the next 10 years, decades, whatever, it doesn't matter to us. We are waiting people because there is nothing else worth it. There's nothing else in this world that we can wait for that would make us happy. Everything we have tasted, if it's of this world, Lord, has left us flat. But when we drink from the wine, the new wine that you've given to us, Lord, we rejoice. There's a joy that's birthed in us that we can no longer contain. And we ask you, Lord God, to give us that step, that spark, that breath in our mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.